Well, we lost Ethan, boy, but we gained Atish. Ethan, if you call back from Laramie, Wyoming, we will put you on first, as we were doing with Atish in New Orleans on EWTN Radio 690 AM. Hey, Atish, welcome.
Hi. My question is, I went to a Baptist college, and I was taking a Bible class there, and the teacher, we were talking about the wedding at Cana, bad on pronunciation, but he was just talking about the discourse. We read it, and he said that Jesus was being disrespectful when he said woman to Mary, and then he went on to state what happened, and I always found it odd. What I understand is that that wasn't a term of disrespect. It was just the way that women were addressed at the time. But I always found it odd that he was saying he was being disrespectful, but then he went on to say that he did what Mary asked anyway, when it wasn't the plan. I never see that as a biblical defense for Mary. But to me, it just rings out in my head, like, you ask, and she goes to Jesus, and, you know, he does listen to her.
He does.
Least, you know.
Yatish, this is an excellent question. Jim, mm-hmm. was our Lord being brusque or even rude to his mother? Because he ends up doing what she asks.
That's right. In our English language today, if we were to say this to someone, woman, you know, it's not...
another beer, wench.
She's asking me to do something. Woman,
right.
It's not my time to do this. It's not my turn, yeah. Whatever. I can see how that it would sound that way, but that we can't look at it that way and apply that. I mean, that would be anachronistic, really, to apply that to what it meant in the first century when Jesus used it and the way that he used it. I mean, it was a term of respect and an endearment and honor to address his mother this way, to address a woman this way. It's the same term that when God created Eve. This is the same terminology that's used. He created woman. And so it's not to be looked at from our perspective in the English-speaking world today. We need to look at it how it was looked upon in the first century. And it was looked upon as being a very respectful, dignified way of addressing her. And then, yes, he did go on and do what she had asked him to do. And this is sometimes seen as an indication of Mary's pull with the Lord, really, pull with her son. In the Old Testament, we see the mother of the king of Israel being very influential on the king, and the king does what the mother asks ordinarily. There are several examples of that. And when we see this happening with Jesus, you know, this is a glimpse into the kingdom of God, Jesus being the king of the kingdom of God and Mary being his mother, and Mary asking of Jesus and Jesus doing what his mother asks. This makes her a very powerful intercessor for us. We see this in this very first example at the wedding of Cana. So, Atish, does that get to your question? Is that what you were, did I address what you're asking?
Just basically when I have Behold Your Mother, I'm only on chapter 4, but whenever I read, I mean, I find that that's Protestants' biggest problem, or one authority and then Mary. But I find it's one of their biggest problems, and to me it speaks in such a simple language, and it seems like it's something that they could easily understand, but I haven't ever seen it used as like a biblical defense. So I just wanted to clarify that it would be something that I could use to talk to somebody about Mary in terms that they could understand, and I didn't want to do it and be wrong just because I've never seen it used as a biblical defense for Mary.
Okay. The book you mentioned was that Tim Staples book on Mary, and I think you'll come across it in that book if you haven't yet. Because this is an example of Mary's role in salvation that is used, that's sometimes pointed out. You know, we do recognize that Mary she did play a very distinct and important role in salvation. She brought Christ, she brought Jesus into the world. She's his mother. She's the mother of God. And she lived a life that was she sacrificed for her son to bring him into the world and to raise him. And we believe, we recognize, and there's scriptural verses for this as well, especially in the book of Revelation, we see that Mary continues in this role. She continues to bring Jesus to us and to bring us to Jesus. And that's, I think you're going to find, if you continue reading the Tim Staples book that you're reading, you're going to see this brought out even more. There are also tracks at Catholic.com that go into this in the Mary and the Saints section.
Tons and tons. Thank you, Atish, for your question and willingness to explain the faith to folks who don't really understand how the Word was made flesh, namely through the most beautiful Jewish mother ever. When he says, "Woman, behold your son," on the cross, Jim, isn't that a really tender, intimate way to refer to his mother? He's sort of elevating her to a title rather than something. You know, something between he and her, rather John and her, and by extension us and her.
That's another indication where we see him using this terminology, and it is a term, a very dignified way of addressing Mary, of honor and respect. And of course, John would have known this as well. So we can't read an English translation 2,000 years later and see how it sounds odd to our ears.
Sure.
And then interpret the scriptures that way. We have to look at what did it sound like to their ears in the first century.
Gotcha. Atish, thanks for the call.